Morning, Chairperson. We have four members present. I think we should maybe just give a few more minutes for more members to join. Chair, thank you.
we still don't form a quorum, Mr. Brown?
Chairperson, we have four members currently present in the meeting, and I have two apologies.
Who is present?
Yourself, Honourable Aduens, Honourable Siwela, and Honourable Morwa Sefla. I'm still waiting for others to join, Chair, but there are four members, and I have two apologies.
Okay. All right.
Chairperson, we are able to start if I can hand over to you now. Thank you.
Can you start with the roll call, Llewellyn?
Thank you, Chairperson. I have yourself, Honourable Binko Gigaba. I have Honourable Aduens. I have Honourable Siwela. I have Honourable Yabo, Honourable Morwa Tsetla. I see Honourable Van der Walt is just joining us now. I have Honourable Nodada, and I have two apologies, Chairperson, one for Honourable Mashabela, one for Honourable Sukers from the Minister and Deputy Minister and DG Minister. She has an appointment at 10 this morning, Chair, so she will have to leave us a bit earlier. Deputy Minister is currently at the NSNP Food Safety Launch and Awards. And DG is in the meeting, Chair, but he's also on oversight and monitoring in the Eastern Cape in respect of the autumn learning programs. He may experience some network challenges, Chairperson, but he's still present as we speak. Thank you.
No, thank you. Can you then slide the agenda to us, morning to everybody, morning to the department led by the minister and the DG, and morning to our members and our support staff. On the agenda, we are having briefing on the third quarterly report 21-2022, and then after that we will have consider and adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. Members would know this is the last meeting for this quarter, as we are going to be starting with the constituency period. So can we get members to adopt the agenda?
Yes, you know.
Principal?
Good morning. I rise to move that this agenda be accepted as is. Thank you.
Sebonga, any seconder?
Second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adwan. Minister, I'm not sure if you're still with us. I know you are supposed to leave us and we have started late.
No, Chair, I'm with you. Unfortunately, my doctor allowed me 30 minutes extra, told him that I'm running late. So I'll only leave after 10.
No, that's fine here, then.
Yeah, I'm here.
No, that is fine then. So can we allow you then to make some reflections politically on this report? Thanks, Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and also express our appreciation for the opportunity to again present a report to yourselves, get your guidance and your input and your counseling around the work that we are doing, and also highlight areas where we think we're making progress and areas where we continuously face challenges as a sector for different reasons. I won't put them forward until such a maybe you want us to explain why some other difficulties in some other areas of our work. So, Chair, so I can't really preempt what the committee would want to say about the presentations or the reports that we're giving to you. It's to indeed acknowledge the leadership from the other governing or other parties in the portfolio committee. And again, thank you very much for having us. I will hand over to the DG and his team. He will then say who presents from our side, and we will await the time when you present. So I have my headphones on. I might even be able to interact in between because I can really take the device with me with headphones, so that if possible, if I'm not in the doctor's rooms, I'll be able to engage with yourselves. Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, it's fine, Minister. DG?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, colleagues from both the Portfolio Committee and the Department Chair. We do have most senior members of the Department in the meeting, given the fact that we are doing statutory reporting. So the branches are in the meeting, are in attendance, all of them, to respond to any matter that the Portfolio Committee might want more information on or for us to clarify. We're presenting the third quarterly report cumulatively from the first and the second quarter report. The third quarter report highlights the end of the school calendar year for 2021, but of course the third quarter for the financial year. We providing highlights in the report featuring major activities, historical activities involving the minister and the deputy minister, to some extent some of the work that some of us have been doing, particularly around the issue of driving learner support, which is what has taken me out to the Eastern Cape today. But also most important around infrastructure, led by the minister, weekly meetings that are chaired by the deputy minister to get us to account well in advance and to deal with issues of challenges that the minister also referred to earlier on. The presentation is going to be done by Ms. Nozipho Mbonambe in terms of performance information. The financial part of the report, the budget and the expenditure, will be handled by the CFO chair. If you allow, without any much ado, I'm going to request Utus Nozipho to start the presentation, then Mr. Kuno to just follow seamlessly, and then we take comments and questions, Chair. As the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee indicated, I requested Mr. Kuno to be on standby to move in case I get cut because of connectivity, and then to be able to lead the team of the department. But I'm very much part of the meeting almost throughout, if the connectivity allows. Thank you very much. If you allow, I'll ask Mrs. Nozipho to start the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members, Minister, DG and Senior Management of the DBE. As DG has already indicated, I will be taking you through the third quarterly report on the performance of the department in meeting its strategic objectives for 2021-22. Okay, I always struggle with moving the slides. Let me try again. Okay, presentation outline has two parts. I'll be taking you through the part A on performance indicators and targets. In terms of the major highlights, as DG has indicated that there are highlights, but it's about two slides. The Basic Education Minister welcomed the launch of the MTN online school on 21 October. And this is seen as a cornerstone in terms of accelerating the digitization of education content in South Africa. It's a free integrated online education portal, which was developed in partnership with the NECT. So the Minister and Deputy Minister also hosted the Charlotte Maxeke Memorial Lecture in October to highlight critical issues and lessons that young people can embrace in building a united South Africa. So this is based on nation building. The Deputy Minister also and the Eastern Cape MEC for Education through the ACD handed over Nkululeko Raro Primary School to the community of Mbutle Mthatha in the Eastern Cape on 29 October. The Director General also undertook an oversight visit to 12 schools in KwaZulu-Natal to motivate grade 12 learners as they were preparing for 2021 NSC exams. We will see more other DG engagements and the monitoring visit in the upcoming slides in program one, in slide 30, and also I think, in slide 30, there's more visits that the DG has done, including the infrastructure monitoring and so forth. So the next slide is talking to the NSC, the learners that set for the exams, the both full-time and part-time, and class of 2021 was the largest class also to sit for the grade 12 NSC examinations since the inception in 2008. We've seen more than 270,000 young people being placed in schools around the country during the phase two of the Presidential Young Employment Initiative in DBE and started serving on 1 November. So we are providing job opportunities to the youth in terms of the economic recovery. And this is more about the admin and the marking of the exam. Though the results have been released, but we've seen 41,500 markers being appointed to mark in 193 centers And also just to highlight that the Director General also visited 177 of the marking centers across the 9 provinces. He also conducted pre-standardization meetings. I mean, the Director General conducted pre-standardization meetings with chief markers, internal moderators of 9 provinces on 20 to 23 December. And the next slide is showing a picture. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I always struggle. I'm not sure why. This picture when the DG was conducting those monitoring visits. 5 programs in the DBE that hasn't changed. In this slide, it's a comparison of the quarter 3 for 2021 financial year and quarter 3 for 2021-22. We would notice that there were 9 quarterly indicators in 2020-21, and there are 10 quarterly indicators in 2021-22. And in 2020-21, we achieved 89% during the quarter 3, and we've increased by a percent in 2021-22 to 90%. And the one indicator that is partially achieved in 2021-22 is in Program 5 on the NSNP 5.1.1. That was due to the examinations, because quarter 3 is mainly about exams, so the 3 schools could not be reached for monitoring. The pie graphs are still talking to the same percentages, comparison of the 2 financial years, the 2020-21, 89%, 2021-22 being 90%. Maybe to summarize in terms of quarterly indicators, Program 1 has 3 quarterly indicators and has achieved all 3, with the annual indicators such as the bottom one here, 1.1.3, it's an annual indicator with a target of 12. And so we've stated that in green because the target has already been achieved by quarter 3. We have achieved 18 capacity building programs by quarter 3. One-to-one, the APP was still a draft at that stage. One-to-two is one of those of the 3 that have been achieved. I think I will also try to summarize in terms of the narrative. Appointments in terms of staffing services were made. The Chief Director for Human Resource Management, Development and Labor Relations, and the Director for Asset Management have been concluded. In terms of training, 105 employees attended skills development. Labor relations, there's one grievance that was reported, and the grievance was resolved and the claims were paid in terms of the travel and substance claim. Appeals, there were 2 appeals of written warning issued as a form of progressive discipline. One was finalized and one is under consideration. 8 legal cases in terms of legal services were received. 3 of the 8, no relief was sought against the minister on the 3 out of 8, and 1 case is a response to a structural interdict. 2 opinions were written and completed in the legal services. 1 based on the interpretation of the POPIA, protection of personal information, and the other on supply chain management. Legislative services, I will touch on the Bella Bill that has been approved by the cabinet on 25 November. Then the revised admission policy is being drafted to accommodate the comments on merit. Financial management, I will touch on the expenditure, national estimates of national expenditure, the E&E database that was submitted to National Treasury on the prescribed date. And then also the budgets of the public entities were reviewed and recommended to the executive authority for approval. Security and asset management. We can highlight the successful management of the daily COVID-19 health screening and reporting in 4 screening points in the department. Supply chain, the bid adjudication committee and bid evaluation committees were held in October and November 2021, and the bid the BAC also held meetings to ensure items were finalized on time. Appointment of pioneer printers and blind SA through the deviation for braiding of question papers was approved in November. In terms of donor grant management, feedback sessions were conducted on annual performance evaluation report to PEDs and organized into 3 clusters. And we submitted also as a department the conditional grants quarterly reports to National Treasury on 15 November 2021. In terms of project management, I'll talk to the presidency that has approved the continuation of the second phase of the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative, the PYEI. And the project management units also monitored the implementation thereof in the provinces. Communication, there's a number of activities that were carried out. We'll highlight the 11 editions of TUDO. That's the internal communication, which captures all the activities by the minister, deputy minister, and the DG in the provinces and in schools. And there were also 112 articles that were compiled. I don't think I will go into detail with the other things. Media liaison, there were 57 media interviews and queries on different media platforms. And issues around the interventions of the DBE and the sector in the light of the COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent lockdown. I think I will go to the meetings. Coordinated within the department. 17 meetings were scheduled, and of the 17 that were scheduled, 12 were held, but there was also additional 6 in terms of the HEDCOM special meetings, which were not scheduled. 5 meetings could not be held, and these comprised of 1 ministerial meeting, 1 senior management, 1 broad management, and 1 CEM and 1 HEDCOM. Sorry. International relations also, the because they work with the office of the minister, also in terms of the partnerships that we form with other countries to improve on the learning outcomes. The new USAID, United States Agency for International Development, mission director met with to introduce the mission director and also to discuss the projects and priorities in the basic education sector. And that happened on 25 October. And also with UAE, United Arab Emirates, ambassador to South Africa to discuss their donation as part of the Back to School program. Also, 10 November 2021, UNESCO General Conference, which took place in Paris, to take stock of the activities implemented under the cooperation. There's quite a number of partnerships, but I will highlight the second bullet, which is partnerships on ministerial programs, national teaching awards. This is talking to the getting the sponsors in terms of the National Teaching Awards. In terms of strategic planning and reporting and the planning, the department submitted at the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation and National Treasury on 29 October 2021, and annual operational plans, also 5 were completed, finalized. Out of the 8, I think, okay, And the second report was submitted also, which was already, which has been already presented before the portfolio committee, and the medium-term strategic framework priority three report was also submitted in October, on 27 October to DPME and also Cabinet Secretariat. Priority four and six reports were also submitted to the lead departments. The department also submitted a report on gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing framework to the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities on 29 October. Branch reviews were successfully held or conducted on 8 to 17 November. These are assisting the department to improve in terms of the performance information, the branch reviews. The public entities second quarterly report and the APP were analyzed and feedback was provided to the entities on 12 and 24 November respectively. SAIS APP was retabled in Parliament on 6 November. In terms of research, there were two NECT dialogues that were held with the ECD sector, and these focused on the development of HRD plan, Human Resource Development Plan, and also on the ECD registration process and system. And the other meetings also that we attended in terms of Primary School Reading Improvement Plan, the PSRIAP, Home Language Lesson Plan Program, and the second National Conference on Care and Support for Teaching and Learning on 24 November. There's quite a number of them. And then UNESCO, there was the Media and Information Literacy Week, 25 to 30 October, then the 41st UNESCO General Conference, and the 23rd session of the General Assembly, as well as the 13th Teacher Task Force Policy Dialogue Forum from 1 to 3 December in Rwanda. QLTC also does a lot of work in the provinces, working closely with the provinces. There was a campaign also to strengthen this quality learning and teaching campaign structures in the provinces. Parliamentary and business processes. 49 questions were received from Parliament, and a total of 24 of these questions were from National Assembly and 25 from National Council of Provinces. 22 were oral, 9 for National Assembly, and 13 for NCOP. And portfolio meeting, committee meetings due to COVID, held virtually. A total of 5 meetings were held between October and December. The Select Committee on Basic Education had 2 meetings. In terms of intergovernmental and technical support, which resides within the office of the DG, they coordinated a number of meetings for infrastructure, sanitation appropriate for education, which is SAFE, as well as the ACD meetings with the program support units to discuss the SAFE program. The DG also had a total of 284 provincial visits to monitor progress on infrastructure in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. There were also preparatory meetings for the DG visits, and the DG also monitored spring classes in provinces, a total of 69 spring camp visits. And in terms of the quality assurance and submissions within the department, a total of 366 were approved and 3 were declined. As we move to program 2 on curriculum policy support and monitoring, I will also start by summarizing the quarterly indicators, because this is about presentation of quarter 3. There's one quarterly indicator, in program two, and there is one, and the other one is by annual, and the rest are annual indicators. So the one has been achieved during the quarter three. And the other indicators are annual. So what we are presenting here is the milestones. So I will not go through the milestones one by one. And where a milestone, where the annual target has already been achieved, it's shaded in green, like 2.1.9, 2.1.10. The targets for the two indicators were achieved by end of quarter three, which is a positive. So I will not be going through indicator by indicator unless there is something I would like to highlight. Also, 2.2.3 has been achieved as at end of quarter three. I would like to go to indicator 2.3.1, that part which is in red font. It's just to highlight that as at quarter three, the performance was 7 out of 27, the target for the year, which is a red flag. And hoping that during the fourth quarter, the target has been achieved. I would also like to put 2.3.7, number of special schools with access to electronic devices. And the department has a challenge in terms of the provision or providing access to electronic devices in special schools due to the budgetary constraints. And the department relies on partners for this. And the budget is also sitting with the Department of Communication and Digital Technology. So hence, the performance is 5 out of 307 target. I think we can safely move to the ECD. In terms of the function shift, I will just highlight function shifts that both national and provincial proclamations have been signed by the president and premiers, and all premiers signed the provincial proclamations. The Minister of Finance tabled the function shift in the medium-term budget policy statement on 11 November. And census has also been conducted on early learning. 37 data has been collected in the 37,000 ECD programs, and that are providing services to 1.5 million children, and that happened in 30 November 2021. Early years index, baseline assessment of early learning programs, also data collection was completed in November with 5,452 learners assessed across all PEDs. In terms of the enhancement programs, we are looking at the workbooks. I will rather go to the slide which is showing all the provinces when it comes to workbook. And MST monitoring was conducted in the provinces in terms of the mathematics and covering also topics on trigonometry, Euclidean geometry, finance and functions and crafts. Rural education monitoring visits were undertaken, and also there was a workshop which was held in Mafikeng with the representatives from Provincial Language Board to quality assure the translated materials. So in terms of the workbooks, the delivery, I would like to highlight this was at end of quarter three. And however, there was a change in terms of the percentage of delivery, or a move rather to 100% by the 1st of March. So when we presented to the portfolio committee, the APP, we had updated those slides, but we still left the quarter three at this percentage so that it doesn't cause confusion. Curriculum implementation, 53 subject reports. on the evaluation of the NSC question papers. And as already indicated earlier, that quarter three is about examinations, and so is the national senior certificate. So it's mostly about the administration of that and the spring classes which were monitored, and also the implementation of phase two of the PYEI happened in Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo. An implementation plan also for the introduction of Kiswahili into SA schools for the academic year 2022 has been drafted. In terms of inclusive education, there was an education summit which was held in November in collaboration with DWYPD, and the summit highlighted progress gaps made in the implementation of the education white paper 6, and there were different commissions discussing different themes. 111 officials have been trained on using SharePoint platform to manage performance information and using this information for reporting for all inclusive education reports. Reading, I will touch on the reading leadership, strengthening in South African schools for learning during COVID-19. The selection of 900 storybook titles were finalized by NECT. And also I would like to highlight the Reading Champions Program, where 17,772 champions have been placed in schools, with a further trained 4,348 trained in the program. Working with NRC, which is National Reading Coalition, continued to advocate for reading through distribution of reading messages and boxes, and to collect books to establish reading clubs in schools and in communities. Read to Lead has partnered with Ethiopian Church of South Africa in the launch of Read the Reach Your Dreams campaign, where a library was opened and an ECD center was revamped. Second Chance Matric Program, plus minus 27,000 second chance learners attended the face-to-face classes in phase two, and that ended 30 November. And the learners are supported through broadcasting programs, accessing digital programs, and provision of hard copies. And this program, Second Chance, has also created job opportunities for 261 youths, unemployed youths, who served as screeners and cleaners at the centers before, during, and after the classes. And that takes us to the next program, that is Program 3. Program 3, in terms of the quarterly indicators, has two, and both indicators, quarterly indicators, have been achieved. What we see here is the milestones, for instance, the 3.1.1 and 3.1.2. These are the milestones towards achieving the annual targets. This is also an annual target, the Funza Lushaga bursaries awarded. However, the target has been met, has been achieved, rather, by quarter three. But I think I need to explain the difference in numbers, a higher number in quarter two and a lower number in quarter three in terms of the Funza Lushaga. The decline in number of bursaries awarded was due to bursary holders that have either cancelled the bursary or declined or are deceased. So that explains the difference between the Q2 and the Q3. 3.1.4 and the next, and also 3.1.5 in the next slide. The red, I know it's
very... Is it only me that has lost, Ms. Monambi?
Sure. Chair?
No, Chairperson, I've never lost her for yet, Chairperson. I'm not sure if other members have, but I have not.
We can hear her clearly.
Me alone, Kevin, it's fine, okay.
Okay, thanks, Chair. 3.1.4, 3.1.5, I know the quarter two looks red, and that's what we presented at the last portfolio committee. However, that has been resolved. And I can assure you that the targets for the two indicators will be achieved by the end of the financial year. We will be having the four quarterly reports, and we have also achieved in quarter three. And that's talking to the two indicators. Yeah. I think this will take us to the end of the indicators for program three. In terms of the education labor relations, dispute management, there were 22 queries and through three were rerouted to relevant units, three directed to PEDs, and one referred to Mpumalanga, and the 15 cases were closed. Education, human resource planning, provisioning and monitoring, post-provisioning norms, five PEDs distributed their staff establishments to schools by 30 September as expected. Four Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, and Eastern Cape, distributed their staffing establishments, Monitor education, human resource planning, provisioning and monitoring continued. The department also monitors the number of qualified educators aged 30 years and below. 30 years and below, a total of 221 young qualified teachers were appointed in post, of which 128 were permanent, 54 were temporary, and 39 were substitute and relief. I think for the two bullets, I would like to go to, okay, I will go to the tables rather that are coming after this slide. In terms of educator performance management and development and whole school evaluation, four PEDs were remotely monitored. Provincial training teams trained 8,393 principals on quality management system. Four PEDs were monitored. Five online training sessions were conducted. Initial teacher education has already been covered under the indicator slide in terms of the performance, the Funza Lushaka Bursary Awards. Then I'm coming back here to the Funza Lushaka placement. I said I would rather present on the one on the table. As at end of quarter three, 76% of the Funza Lushaka graduates that are eligible were placed. 76%. In terms of the filling of posts, if we start on the very last column, it's 2021 quarter three, and is as we move, it's 60% move towards the left. It's 2021 Q2, which is 73%, but for 2021-22 quarter three, it's 75%. The schools were allocated teaching posts were filled. This is the same still on the filling of posts, but this is by interval, for instance, less than 50% by province, 50 to 74%, 75 to 99%, and 100%. CPTD, continuing professional teacher development, upgrading of grade R practitioners, six PEDs submitted the updated 2021-22 grade R practitioners qualification information to the DBE for the annual sector report. So we will have a consolidated and detailed report by end of the financial year. Provision of support, teacher support, in the PEDs, through a partnership agreement, between DBE and the council. A total of 32 provincial trainers were trained on story making, and 173 lead teachers graduated as master trainers after going through the course on English language learning and teaching, COELT. And this is key towards implementing the English first additional language in schools. Curriculum research, a number of teachers who took self-diagnostic assessments in math and science, and 200 foundation phase teachers were trained on digital skills, 5 tools for impact assessment of teacher development programs have been developed. A national digital skills program for all teachers has been endorsed by SACE. And then there's an online teacher development platform phase 2 that has been completed and launched in January. Education management and government development, we talk to the monitoring and distribution of undocumented learners admission documents in 9 provinces. Also, the documents included the Pagamisa judgment, circular 1 of 2020, and examination instruction number 34 of 2018 letters. Program 4. In program 4, there are no quarterly indicators. All the targets are annual. So what is presented under the column validated milestone or output is actually, the milestone. Indicators on infrastructure, 4.1.1, 4.1.2, and 4.1.3. The first indicator, out of 21 annual targets, the performance is 7. And we highlighted in red because at least by quarter 3, we should be at 2/3 of the targets. 4.1.2 out of 1,000 targets, the performance is at 458. 4.1.3 on water facilities, target is 100, and by end of quarter 3, the department is at 44. I thought I would highlight those in terms of the performance. Other indicators are talking to the exams in terms of the reports, and these are already published because the minister released the results already. And this one is also talking to the examination papers, which also have been overtaken by the events. 4.2.4 and 4.2.5 are talking to the systems. 4.2.4, SASEMS, and we've also reported a milestone that 4 PEDs reported that more than 98% of schools were collected and the remainder of the provinces were still in the process of collection before the schools closed. 4.2.5, also systems on the learner unit record information and tracking system, which is the LURIT. We've also reported a milestone on this one in terms of the readiness monitoring tool and schedule that were finalized. 4.2.6 is talking to a report on learning outcomes linked to the national assessment framework. Quarter 3, we are reporting that the progress report has been developed in international reading literacy study because that's key for the reading in grade 4 and grade 6. 4.2.7, another key indicator also on first early learning and national assessment, the ELNA. We can report that the provisional report has been developed. 431, district officials from districts that achieved below the national benchmark in the national senior certificate, they participate in a mentoring program. So this is also one intervention in terms of those underperforming districts. The target is 60, and we can see that it's a total of 76, which means we have achieved the target. 4.3.2 is also talking to principals, school principals rating support services of districts as being satisfactory. And this one is a biennial indicator and is not applicable for 2021-22. So we monitor it every 2 years. 4.3.3, percentage of district directors who have undergone competency assessment prior to their appointment. Quarter three, we have reported also the milestone, but the target is 96%. 4.3.4, underperforming schools monitored at least twice a year. This is also another intervention in terms of monitoring the underperforming schools. So far, we have reported a milestone because the department has to work with the provincial education departments in this regard. So Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga provided signed list of schools monitored. 4.3.5, district director forums held, target has been achieved. Total of 4 district director forums have been held. And we know this is driven by the minister. 4.3.6, districts in which teacher development has been conducted, district improvement plans, the target is 60, and we've also indicated, reported a milestone here. We will have a final report, our outputs by end of fourth quarter. Here I will just highlight MEs we've presented on the indicator performance, but I would like to highlight bullet 3 in terms of the South African School Administration and Management System, SASEMS modernization. That the project has focused on the release to design and the development for learner and school management, incident management, and school governing body. Then the fourth bullet is also talking to open MEs, demonstrations that have been successfully completed at different fora, ministerial district directors meetings, HEDCOM, SUBCOM for district managers and e-education, as well as the Gauteng Department Education District Managers, KZN and Limpopo MEs, School Governing Body Associations, National Consultative Forum, and Independent School Associations. Exams, will not really present in terms of question papers, as indicated earlier on, that this was the process in preparation for the 2021 NSC exams, which have been written and their results are out already. Same here, still on the exam administration. In terms of the national assessment, I can highlight that the test instruments were piloted in November 2021 in selected schools for the general education certificate. And for early learning national assessment, a draft report has been developed and is in the process of being finalized. The SACMEC data capturing is progressing well and will be concluded by end of quarter four. PELS, already touched on PELS, also under the indicators. TIMS, the diagnostic report and national report for grades 5 and 9 was finalized. Systemic evaluation, recruitment of field workers, and the manual was finalized. And this also is talking to NSC, which was already covered under the highlights. Provincial budget monitoring, response to second quarter quarterly electronic quarterly performance was uploaded for all 9 PEDs on the system, which is the EQPR system. And the feedback was provided on selected PEDs with regard to in-year monitoring spending for an identified month based on the analysis inquiries and that were made to PEDs about how they spend or their spending trends. The HEDCOM SUBCOM on finance provide support also to the in terms of the compliance, improvement of the audit outcome, as well as the budget expenditure. Amendments to the national norms and standards for school funding, the national table, targets for school allocation 2021-2023, and the updated national poverty distribution table. Then there was also a letter minister that was drafted to the Minister of Finance requesting his concurrence regarding this national table for school allocation 2022-24 and the revised national poverty distribution table. In terms of the provincial and district planning and implementation support, I will just highlight bullet 3 on the Northwest, section 100, 1B intervention, which was meeting which was convened on 15 November 2021, and also the DCMS HEDCOM subcommittee meeting on 1 December, where 43 members attended. I think I can highlight the last bullet here, which is talking to the district development model, and we know how key that is. Also, we can report that the coordination of the DDM technical committees in the sector is not uniform across the provinces, which has provided challenges. A plan has been agreed upon to communicate directly with the districts. School improvement support coordinators visited 641 schools in 27 districts to monitor and support underperforming schools. And this is also a very key. And in terms of the primary schools, 515 were supported. And there were also interactive meetings which involved circuit managers in preparation for the identification of the underperforming schools. This is talking to school and district incident management and support. A report on the state of readiness of school readiness for 2022 was presented to portfolio and select committees in November and December respectively. The work of the NIDU, which is very key in terms of improving learning outcomes. NIDU is National Education Evaluation and Development Unit. They conducted 30 workshops to remediate the report on teaching every learner to read at an average age-appropriate level, and also how teachers use DBE Rainbow Workbooks to enhance foundational literacy skills. So in this regard, 1,480 departmental heads and teachers, as well as 88 district officials, attended the workshop in the districts indicated below. Infrastructure, this is education infrastructure in terms of the allocation, which is 11.6 billion. As at end of quarter three, 10.2 billion had been allocated, which translates to 87.5%. As at 22 January, 1.4 billion was a remaining amount. The RCD, this was covered under the indicator slides in terms of the number of schools completed, which is 7, the water provision, which is 44, and the sanitation provision, which is 262 for the third quarter, but we reported 458. Which is covering also quarters one and quarter two. This picture, it's the DG, as we've seen the number of schools, so the number of schools that he visits in terms of to monitor the infrastructure delivery and also to find ways of facilitating the delivery in schools. That brings us to the end of program four. Program five on educational enrichment services. Program five has four quarterly indicators, and four indicators have been achieved as indicated earlier under the summary of the performance, and one partially achieved indicator 5.1.1 on number of schools monitored for the provision of nutritious meals. So as indicated earlier, due to the examinations being conducted in quarter three, three schools could not be reached. So in terms of the overall performance, the department is sitting at 100 out of the 120 target. And I'm almost certain that this indicator will be achieved, or this target rather, will be achieved by the end of the financial year. 5.1.2 is annual, and the business plans have been received for evaluation. So we will have also the final output by end of the financial year, by end of this month, which means in 2 to 3 days' time. These two were achieved as indicated, and this is the third one that was also achieved. Safety, I did touch on the school safety. Okay, school safety, 20 districts were monitored across the three provinces. In terms of sport and enrichment in education, the K. Mosepe Schools Cup National Championships for netball successfully held. Spelling Bee, Setswana and isiXhosa word lists have been developed for 2022. Arts and culture, the memorandum of understanding between DDE and Architech SA has been approved. And this MOU is intended to support the training of teachers in arts and support the implementation of arts programs in the sector. School nutrition is already covered, that 17 schools were monitored during the quarter under review. Well, health promotion, the World Health Organization, a donation of 7 million deworming tablets was received in November 2021. A draft MOU with Colgate Palmolive has been developed and is with the Department of Health for input. CSTL Week started with the Comprehensive Sexual Education, the CSE Colloquium, which was held on 22 to 23 November in partnership with the University of Joburg at the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, the CSIR, in Pretoria. And this was followed by the CSTL National Conference, which was held virtually in partnership with UNICEF, NECT, and MIET, which is Media in Education Trust Africa, on 24 to 25 November, and concluded with the launch of Breaking the Silence, which is the TV series at the SABC studios. And that happened on the 28 November. CSE Parent Sensitization Workshops, which is comprehensive sexual education, were conducted in 32 schools in Johannesburg South. 240 SMT school management teams and SGB members in Eastern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape provinces were sensitized. In terms of the adolescent girls and young women, AGYW package of services, 55,334 girl learners out of a target of 36,432 were reached. Hand washing day commemorated at Zimasa Primary School in October. And the DBE policy on the prevention and management of learner pregnancy in schools was approved by Cabinet on 29 September and was subsequently gazetted on 3 December. Child cohesion, I already covered the Charlotte McLeaghan Memorial Lecture under the highlights. Rights and responsibilities on violence and bullying prevention initiative. In support of the anti-bullying campaign, a jamboree was organized in pursuit of importance of school safety on 15 October. The National School Moot Court Program, the department in partnership with Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and South African Human Rights Commission, which is SAHRC, hosted the 10th National Schools Moot Court Competition, Grades 10 to 11, virtually from 6 to 10 October 2021. Kosi Albert Luthuli Oral Program, there were national finals on 15 to 17 October 2021 with 34 learners and 69 officials in attendance. Psychosocial support conducted the resilience training sessions for Northern Cape district officials and also guided guide for learner support agents and schools on providing psychosocial support for government to government learner support agents. This slide is presenting the National School Nutrition Program, NSNP, schools that were provided with national, with the nutritious meals, apologies. The last column, which is the total, showing a total of 19,553 schools by the third quarter. And this slide is also reflecting on the NSNP, but is reflecting the number of learners that were provided with nutritious meals by quarter three. The last, very last row at the bottom is the totals per province, and then the last column and the total showing like the national total, which is 8.9 million learners, 8,916,552 learners. And this was the last slide in terms of the performance information. I will hand over to the CFO to provide, to present the finance, budget and expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Nosipho. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, the Minister, DM, DG and colleagues. Can we go to the next slide, please? Yes, our budget, Chairperson, is 27 billion and 82% of that is allocated to transfers that you make. And the balance, which is 18%, is divided into various items like compensation of employees, examiners, earmarked funds, office accommodation. If we can go to the next slide, please. Yeah, out of that budget of 27 billion, we had spent 22 billion. And the breakdown follows the same percentage breakdown that we showed on the budget side. I'll talk more to the expenditure on the next slide. Yes, thank you. On this slide, we're showing the budget and expenditure per program. Ordinarily, at the end of the third quarter, our benchmark is that the spending should be plus minus 75%. But at the end of the third quarter, we had spent 82%. The only area which is underspending is program two, which is mainly curriculum. And that is because the bulk of the budget that relates to the workbooks only gets spent in the fourth quarter. So because workbooks get delivered at the beginning of the school year, which is the beginning of the last quarter of our year. So that's why that one would find that the expenditure of books would lag behind others. If we can go to the next slide, I think we'll skip one or two slides. Let's skip Skip this one, please. I want us to go to, yeah, to this one. This one is the same budget and expenditure, except that it's shown per economic classification. And the two areas which are underspending is goods and services, and that's where the workbooks budget is sitting, as well as payments of capital assets. That's mainly the school infrastructure backlogs grant or RCD budget. I must hasten to indicate, Chair, that as we speak, the two areas have come to the party such that we are very confident that when we end the year in 3 days' time, we will see 100% expenditure on both these two areas, as well as the departmental budget. Can we go to the next slide, please? Yes, let's just move. I'll stop you. Yeah, on this slide shows the budget and expenditure for earmarked funds, and we're showing 55%. And as I've said, most of the bulk of the budget is workbooks, as you can see, 1.1 billion out of the 1.2 billion is actually workbooks. So that budget will be spent as I've indicated. Let's go to the next slide, please. Next slide. Next slide. Yeah, this slide is the conditional grants. It's a conditional grants slide showing all the conditional grants. We transfer funds to provinces according to a set schedule which we follow to the letter. But as you can see, we had already transferred or spent far more than the 75% threshold, and we are confident, as I've said. Actually, it's not just confidence. We've already transferred 100% as we speak, heading towards the end of the year. Next slide, please. Next slide. Yeah, this one is basically earmarked funds, and we spending as we should. If one looks at the last line there, the total, it's actually public entity, sorry, not earmarked funds. As you can see, we were on par as at the third quarter. We were at 25%, so there are no challenges there as we speak. Next slide. Next slide. This is the school infrastructure backlog grant budget, a city budget, which I spoke to earlier on, to say it was one of the two that was not spending when we showed the economic classification. But I can assure the committee that as we speak, this budget is spending as it should, and come the end of March, we'll have spent 100% of the budget. I think this should be the last slide. Let me just check. Yes, thank you, Chair. Over to you, DG. Chairperson, DG had indicated, I think, when he started, that he may break as he's busy monitoring schools. So that is our presentation, Chair. I'm not sure that the minister is still in the meeting. She had also indicated her other commitment. If they are not here, Chair, I'll hand over back to you. Thank you.
No, it's fine. It's okay, CFO.
Thank you, Rekuno.
Oh, okay. Did you?
No. I was saying thank you, Rekuno and Nozipo. Over to you, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, DG. Thank you very much to the presenters as well. Can I notice from the members? That would want to take part in the interaction of this third quarter report. I've noted, Honorable Nodada. You can proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning, Chair and colleagues. Am I clear, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thanks for the presentation on the third quarterly report. I just have quite a few questions and comments, Chair. And let's start with the CD. In fact, one, there's a failure to meet its targets, its annual targets. And I did pose a question previously about, you know, this promised new purpose vehicle or mechanism that will improve and streamline infrastructure development in schools. In March 2022, I had asked a question that the department indicated that there's still a backlog of 35 for the sanitation facilities, 101 for water, 41 for the replacements, you know, of schools that have inappropriate structures. And I wanted to check with the DG on the line. There was an indication that a discussion would take place regarding this new purpose vehicle and how it would look like as an extension to what the CD already does for the department, and whether that discussion has taken place. And linked to that, what features of this mechanism would then be any different to a CD? And if so, from the CFO, what is the budget allocation and annual objectives of this mechanism, if any, has been discussed? And if not, Chair, or that discussion has not taken place in this particular issue of a CD and the new purpose vehicle, could we then be kept abreast regarding that, considering that there has been quite a few challenges regarding a CD? The second one is on slide 42. In terms of the national reading plan, are there any provinces that have not yet implemented the national reading plan, or any districts that have not started implementing this particular plan? On slide 36, there's an indication of technology and devices being critical to ensure that learners with special needs need not to fall behind. And I wanted to check, what are the reasons that the number of schools with access to electronic devices have not been prioritized or have fell behind? I might have missed this. But what are the reasons for them having fallen behind? And how much of the budget has been allocated to equip special needs schools with these necessary technologies in this particular report period that we're talking about of 2021? 2022. In slide 51, there's an indication about mother tongue language and the textbooks thereof. And if we look at slide 53 as an example, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Northwest have the lowest percentage in terms of the delivery of textbooks. And Mpumalanga is sitting at 68%, Northwest 43%, and Gauteng at 42%. And what are the reasons for them not being able to deliver these textbooks? Or are these textbooks that I referred to here a top-up of textbooks that already exist? And if not, then it would be concerning that not even 50% of the textbooks, particularly in Gauteng and Northwest, haven't been delivered. And if that is the case, has there been any consequence management that has been implemented regarding the non-delivery of textbooks? As we've seen in the Eastern Cape as well recently, the failure to deliver textbooks because of a decision that was taken in November, December, which ultimately affects learning in the most poor and vulnerable of schools. And then just moving to other issues that I have noted outside of the slides, and Chair, I'd just like to quickly move through this one. In terms of some of these target settings, when you go and say, you know, we need to monitor X amount of schools for entrepreneurship, X amount of schools that are implementing the technical and operational stream. What determines if, for example, you say that there are 18 schools that you will monitor for entrepreneurship and maybe three per province or whatever the case may be? How do you get to that determination of the number of schools? Considering particularly on the three-stream model that has been put in place and other curriculum ventures that we seek to achieve and ensuring that we equip learners for the world of work, would it then not be important to try and increase the oversight responsibility of DBE to provinces in making sure that they implement these curriculum offerings? Particularly the two that I've mentioned, including things like robotics and coding and so on, to increase maybe the target to ensure that, especially in the most poor and the most vulnerable, where there's a need for good quality education and skills development, to focus on those districts and areas that we need to try and improve the curriculum there. So what informs the targets as they are on this? And, you know, would there be a consideration in future moving on when we do set future APPs to consider, you know, putting more emphasis and target the areas that we'd like to see improve and gain more skills? And in terms of the number of schools monitored for ICT, could we possibly get a report on the findings that you have found once the fourth quarter is obviously completed, if you've got more schools that you need to focus on there? And then I had requested a report on the Funza Lushaga bursary breakdown, which I got an annexure that basically gave a breakdown of all the priority subjects or key subjects across all nine provinces and what is important for each province. But what I would like to get, Chair, is how many learners are currently studying towards those streams or have graduated from them in each province, so that if, for example, the commendable number of over 11,000 bursaries that have been given for Funza Lushaga could be broken down as to how many of them are actually studying towards an FET phase to focus on technical and math and science as an example, and how many of them are focusing in African languages of Setswana, for example, in Northwest as a key stream of studying. It would obviously be interesting to know what that looks like. And then the second last one for me is that when these targets are said to be met. So in this report, for example, on quarter three, a lot of targets have been met. Is there a tangible measurement of how quality teaching and learning is improved based on meeting these targets? So saying that, you know, we've got a target of X, Y, and Z, we've met this target, but also there's a justification of tangible measurement of how quality teaching and learning has actually improved by the department meeting those targets. And then on the budget, there's been an indication that now a CD is spending as it should, and by the end of March it would have spent 100% of the budget. I just have a concern there. You know, I hope there's no fiscal dumping that's taking place, because we're close to the end of the financial year. And if we can just get a reassurance that that actually is not taking place, so that we don't find ourselves, you know, having to spend without meeting targets or trying to make sure that there's 100% spend, but the quality of delivery that was supposed to take place and making sure that we get rid of those inappropriate structures is actually not taking place. So I think those are just the questions that I have, Chair, and some of the comments that I do have. And then I think I will come back to this issue of Lutris and SASM that the DG referred me to as a mechanism to track dropouts, because I'm not entirely convinced that it actually it is the only effective way and strategy to track trace the learner dropouts. But I think that's a discussion that we'll take on board on another day. but I just wanted to inform that I have been looking at that, and I think that there is something that can be done in addition to using SASM and blue chips to track and trace dropouts. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson requested me to share. She's struggling with network, but I can see she's still with us in the meeting. I see the end of Honorable Mwateta.
Modula Studio, Lemaloko Kamoka, at this all important portfolio committee on this platform. Good morning. Let's appreciate, Chairperson, the presentations from the department, DBE, and all the report that they have brought before us. I think we must appreciate the fact that indeed the report appears to be well-crafted and well-oiled and accounting to what the department was able to accomplish to this far. However, Chairperson, I've got two questions to raise here. And the first question is the dichotomy that be with regard to two aspects, the issue of scholar transport and or the merging of schools. I know the two do not fall within the same program, but married as they may be, it is very difficult to separate them. You see, it is true that a number of our schools warrant to be merged for one reason or the other. And in the main, where the schools have been so reduced in terms of learner population, such that even when you come to allocation of teachers, it become utterly unviable for such schools to perform, let alone to operate. It's true. And you will always overhear a number of battles through the media where a number of communities will fight to say our schools will not be merged and all those sorts of things. But the bottom line is it going to be sustainable or affordable to have a school with two learners and still maintain that is a school? The answer is utterly no. But given that challenge of merging schools, you can't merge the school without scholar transport provision. I wanted the department to take us on board, especially at the DBE level. How are they advising the provincial education department to manage this so that maybe before merging schools, the issue of scholar transport should be resolved and be prioritized? Because you see, we find ourselves in a catch-22 situation wherein either the challenges going on within a number of provinces, Chairperson, is that there is still inadequate scholar transport in a number of communities where learners have to walk more than 10 kilometers plus. So the question now and the challenge is, when you merge schools, compounding the situation of scholar transport, How is the department intending to tackle this? Because to be honest, the two cannot be divorced from each other. The two remain inseparable. Maybe the department, if they can take us on board as the portfolio committee, how they are advising the provincial department of education, departments of education, and to address this, it could be of assistance, because of course you will keep on encountering a number of endless questions as and when we move around. That was the first question, Chairperson. The second one is what we picked up through the media on our cyber network, that there is an anomaly in the Eastern Cape. The anomaly which indicates that the province has underspent to an extent that part of their money, I'm not so sure, but the department will come to the party in responding whether the money has been returned to Treasury, or whether, I'm talking about millions here, or whether the money has been returned to the Department of Basic Education. But be that as it may, where the money went may not matter much. But what is very important is what could have contributed to the underspending when the province falls within the category of the most rural province, which we believe the province indeed is indeed, and therefore and accept that instead of underspending, we should be talking that Eastern Cape has overspent and maybe they be charged for overspending. We would plead their case and pray for their bailout. But now here, what is happening? If this, what is flying around is true, the province has underspent, and which means it has forfeited millions of monies which should have been benefiting the teachers and learners in that province. Could this be, Chairperson, an accident that has happened in that part of our province? Or could it be simply because of incompetence within the department? Can we be taken on board? Because all these things will hamper the provision of public and quality-based education to our communities. If we are still going to have the provinces or the departments which are failing to utilize the money as allocated. Maybe I should pause the Chairperson for now.
Thank you very much. I'm back, Honorable Weep. Thank you. I'm not sure if I'm audible, though. I'm struggling.
You are very clear, okay. Chairperson, for now. We can hear you.
No, it's fine. Let me somehow give to the Weep. I see her hand is up.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The network is really unstable. I don't know if it's weather or in this area or what. But before I lose mine, let me also appreciate the presentation of the Department of Basic Education on their performance and the third quarter of 2021-2022. We note the good work that has been done so far. This report is capturing a very important information that has taken time during a very crucial period in our education system, which is final examinations of all not only matriculants, but of all learners in the country. We really appreciate the work that has been done so far. But we also acknowledge the challenges that they continuously facing, especially on the infrastructure, the backlog on the infrastructure, and efforts that they are putting in place in making sure that they continuously address them. With regard to what Honorable Mogwatseka has raised also on the issue of scholar transport vis-a-vis the viable schools, I think there's really need to have a solution on that one, but I would let me hear what the department has put in place in making sure that they mitigate that, because when you go to the province, most especially rural provinces like the Eastern Cape, where they live in very far rural areas, where there's a need for scholar transport, and you see learners traveling for longer distances to schools, and then you wonder how and when this thing is going to be resolved, because during the seasons we even hear of accidents that may occur in such areas. But for me, Chairperson, I see there's a little bit of growth and improvement compared to the last year's or the 2020-2021 quarterly report. There's a lot of improvement and a lot of achieved performance when you look into the slide on slide 9 in the presentation. I think they need to be commended for that, because with all the challenges of of COVID and that we face as a country in recovering from it, and up and downs on schools being had to be closed and all those things, but we see that there's a lot of improvement and a lot of performance that is recorded in this presentation, Chair. But I have one question maybe for the department is with regard to the period during their monitoring, when they do their monitoring at the level of the schools or districts or in provinces, and they are faced with the challenges or they see challenges that are there. Maybe in a school they'd be inadequate maybe LTSM or furniture or whatever the case may be, what is the immediate intervention during those monitoring visits? Does the department able to assist where there's a challenge that they see during their monitoring period, especially on the site where we see DG visited schools in KZN? What is some of the information that you can share with us during your intervention, your monitoring, and what kind of intervention do you immediately provide to those learners? But also note and also appreciate the MTN online schooling that is free and is reachable to even the rural schools where they struggle with with network, we really appreciate that, because we can see that there's a concerted effort that is made even by our stakeholders, you know, in making sure that learners also do get assistance, not only from the department or from basic education or from government, but also from different stakeholders in our country. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Atwan. Mine are very few issues. The first one would be, one must also say thank you for this third Kotela report as well, which we see that the department has tried to reach as many targets as you have said for the third quarterly report, but how is that going to assist in terms of improving your audit outcomes, CFO? How are you planning to improve your audit outcomes, and up to this far, have you implemented the recommendations by the Auditor General, and are you able to see a difference when you have recommended those? I mean, when you have implemented those recommendations. And then the second one, there is a slide which speaks to the low spending with regards to the delays in receiving the invoices from the implementing agents for the work that they have completed. What could be the reason for that? Are they not giving the invoices on time as the implementing agencies, or and what is the department doing if the situation is like that? And then there is also a slide on under program 4 where you show that the third quarter report is lower than the projected of 234.5 million, and the low expenditure is attributed to the underpayments for capital assets in the school infrastructure backlogs grant. So why is the underpayments for capital assets in the school infrastructure backlog fund? So those are the main issues from my side. I'm not sure now who's gonna lead the responses. I'm not sure whether the minister or the DG is here. If not, then we go to the people that have presented.
Chair, I'm here. I haven't check whether the minister is here. Should I proceed, Chair?
Yes, you can proceed, DG.
Thank you very much for the comments and questions, which are always enlightening, but also getting us to be on our toes when we prepare and come to meetings of the portfolio committee and get to do our work better next time or next financial year. On a lighter note, Chair, when it comes to Honorable Nodada, because he asked, he fired the first salvos. I met with him at the airport, saw him face to face for the first time, I thought if we had tea on some of these things, we could have eased the work of the portfolio. It's just on a lighter note. But I know that he means business. He wants to ask these questions in a meeting of the portfolio committee because he means business. members of the portfolio committee will allow me to bring in colleagues who are branch heads who will answer even better than what I would do. Let me start with the issue of the special purpose vehicle. I must commend Honorable Nodada for a very sharp memory. Yes, indeed, we did promise to get back to him. We met with ISA Infrastructure South Africa, led by Dr. Ramokopa. We now have a clear understanding from all of us of what the special purpose vehicle is about and what the special purpose vehicle is going to be doing. It's going to be led by ISA, Honorable Chair and Honorable Nodada. And the purpose of the special purpose vehicle is to elicit investment from the private sector to assist government to deal with the infrastructure backlog. Not only in education features as part of social infrastructure, but it's going to deal with infrastructure broadly in government, whether it's from the economic sector, roads to revive, resuscitate the rail and road network, but bringing in private investment in infrastructure rollout. So that's how education is going to feature there. And two provinces have been identified for a pilot, is Northern Cape and Eastern Cape. We agreed in our last meeting, Honorable Nodada, which we promised that we're going to solicit a common understanding of government from, to establish a committee constituting education, bringing in, we even invited National Treasury there, and they were happy to be part of that meeting, ISA, the presidency, and even Public Works. So that's where we are. Education, the first approach would be to invest in Northern Cape and Eastern Cape to deal with infrastructure backlog in those two provinces. And how this thing is going to work is that a private sector will bring in money and government will have to find money to pay back the investment that the private sector would have made. And the good thing is that you'd be able then to eradicate your infrastructure backlog much faster than it would happen from your normal appropriations of government money, which wouldn't have or wouldn't be able to appropriate as quickly as we do when we get private sector investment. So that's the issue around special purpose vehicle, Honorable Nodada. The reading plan, what we usually do is that we charge provinces to implement the reading plan. All provinces have implemented the reading plan. How do I know this? I know it because I chair meetings every year where they present reports on the implementation of their reading programs. And for the past 5 to 6 years, provinces have been presenting reports based on these reading plans. And we also have a meeting convening every month at DBE level, where we're looking at progress made on SONA commitments. One of those commitments made by the president is that we should ensure that at the age of 10 years old, all learners are able to read with understanding. So, for instance, last week we received such a report from curriculum, from delivery and support, from social cohesion, from a number of line functions, where line functions were giving an update of where the efforts implemented at school level, supported and monitored by districts and provinces, are in terms of reading. So every province has got a reading plan that I can put my head on the block. But what I might need to find out is the extent to which those translate into district plans. So on that one, I cannot vouch for now. Provision of IT to learners with special education needs. Learners with special education needs are actually ahead of everyone. I think 442 of our schools were to be covered by telcos, and the network operators. When I talk about telcos, it's network operators. They are at different level of providing not only connectivity, but even special devices for special learners with special education needs in different schools. I think we could talk honorable members to some of these schools where ICT has been deployed in schools for learners with special education needs. Our plan was that we want to cover first all schools for learners with special needs, and then after that, multi-grade schools. Then the next group will be quintile 1 to 3, and then the last group will be quintile 4 to 5. Some of the quintile 4 to 5 schools are already getting this through their own initiatives, raising funds, et cetera, and et cetera. Delivery of textbooks. Textbooks were first delivered from the new catalog in 2012, if my memory serves me well. What provinces are doing at the moment, if we talk about textbooks, it's just replenishing what has been there, what we call top-up, which wouldn't exceed 30% ordinarily. If it does, then it means that the province is doing very bad on textbook retention and recovery. What we buy every year is stationery, not textbooks. So that would be my explanation with respect to the analogy that you gave of Mpumalanga, Northwest, Gauteng. No, they would have textbooks. The new catalog was issued in 2012. They are just replenishing now. What determines the targets of schools to be visited? It depends on the size of the project. It depends on the money available to go out and monitor. But also what we need to take into account, Honorable Chair, is that apart from the monitoring done by DBE, provincial officials do monitoring on the same issues. District officials also do monitoring. We need to take all of those foot soldiers there as impact of footprints into account to adequately assess the impact of the monitoring that the sector is doing. So it's not only DBE, so it's provinces, it's also districts that are doing monitoring as well. So if the resources like money for monitoring it becomes more available, which we increase it over the years, we increase the number of schools that we monitor. But in instances of crisis, we do go all out and cover virtually everything. For instance, I can say SAFE, because SAFE was in real trouble. Honorable members will remember that. SAFE is the program that had to deliver a flagship program that had to deliver sanitation. 2 years where nothing was delivered virtually. So we had to go for all of them. We didn't sample. We went for all construction sites to go and monitor there. Number of schools monitored for ICT and report and findings. We can get that, and the team that's doing that, we could share it with the committee at the appropriate time. Funza Lushaka, in respect of schools for technical subjects, Mr. Padayaki can respond to that. But as I said last time, there are very few universities that are training teachers for technical subjects in their faculties of education. And as I said, we are in ongoing discussions with heads of faculties of education to increase the uptake, given the vision and the plan that we have for the three-stream model, as Honorable Nodada correctly observed. Is meeting targets translating into improvement in teaching and learning? Well, the results of grade 12, the results of the regional and international studies that are conducted can bear a testimony in that respect, whether there's any improvement or not. My view is that there is tremendous improvement. If you look at subjects, technical subjects, for instance, for the first time, perform better than they've never, ever performed ever since they got introduced in 2018. So monitoring does help, and it helps in many ways. Let me see. Luris, yeah, I'm sure Honorable Nodada, this one was just a tongue in cheek. I didn't suggest that Luris is the only way, but for us in the sector, it's a reliable means to help us determine, the extent of the dropout rate. I do agree that there could be other means to determine the extent of the dropout rate and the impact of the dropout rate. We're also working with some NGOs here who are also, doing work in this area. The zero dropouts, we've shared notes with them many times. So I do agree with you that Luris might not be the only way. Honorable Murwatseka, I agree with you that there is an inextricable relationship between learner transport and the measure and closure of small and unviable schools. Coincidentally, last Sunday, we met with all the 9 provinces. I was extremely pleased with the plans that they presented Sunday from 2 o'clock up to about 6 o'clock. We were in that meeting after 5, 6 o'clock, and we have agreed to meet at least once a quarter, but get committees that deal with that to continue to do work. The fact that Eastern Cape understand yes under EIG, and maybe that's why the media knows about that, because about 200 million has been moved to KZN so that we keep it within the sector. In terms of EIG, I think it's common knowledge on that one, Honorable Murwatseka. Underspending, it's a number of issues, capacity challenges, the relationship actually between that department and provincial treasury. I've had a meeting with them. I've written to the DG to mediate between the two. I've told that the first meeting has happened. I think the major issue is between provincial treasury and the provincial education department. We thank you for appreciating the work that we do, and to all honorable members, thank you for appreciating the work that we do. Backlog in infrastructure, we've really turned the corner. And I'm sure Mr. Van der Vest can give you figures, inappropriate structures, how many have we replaced so far, water and sanitation. Even for this year's targets, I would be very surprised if we don't meet them and get very, very close to meeting them, unlike the previous years. Concerned about learner transport in schools in deep rural areas, yes, indeed, especially in KZN, I fully agree. Honorable Aduns, it is a challenge. It is also a challenge in instances where small schools are closed without taking transport into account. Thank you for commending us for performance in grade 12. Inadequate delivery of textbooks when, okay, it's about replacing textbooks. I think I've explained that one. Honorable Chair, how are we planning to improve our audit outcomes? I'll leave that to the CFO, but I can tell you that we've been working very hard. The teams are out. The major issues are two things, irregular expenditure and misstatements in the financial statements. But I'll leave it to the CFO so that I don't cover everything. Maybe I should invite Mr. Padayaki after that, the CFO, and then anyone who'd want to add to what maybe I might have not fully covered. Thank you very much, Chair, for your indulgence, honorable members and colleagues.
They can proceed, Mr. Konambi.
Mr. Padayaki. Mr.
Okay.
Padayaki followed by the CFO. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, DG. Good morning to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think the one was from the Honorable Nodada. We did provide information. We will submit the specifics that are being asked. I'm not sure of the other questions. I didn't have connectivity at certain times. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, DG. I'll talk to two issues. The one was from Honorable Nodada to check if the spending on a CD is not fiscal dumping. I think the question was that we should give an assurance. We are giving that assurance, Chair. It's not fiscal dumping. By virtue of the fact that the infrastructure area or the schools, the building of schools basically is a multi-year, it's actually multi-year project. So there'll always be, you can never at the end of the financial year say, I've spent 100% and I'll start in the following year. So there's always that overlap. So there are years when, for example, in this year, we are very fortunate that we're spending the whole budget, but it doesn't necessarily mean that all the schools that we have started have been completed by virtue of the fact that the projects are multi-year. And that's the nature of the budgeting, even in government, to say we cannot budget for all the schools in 1 year. So I want the meeting to be rest assured that the spending is there's value for money. It's not fiscal dumping. With regards to the question on from the chairperson on the improvement of audit outcomes, Chair, we just to recap that in the previous financial year, we moved from an unqualified audit. We moved from a qualified audit outcome to an unqualified audit outcome with two matters of emphasis. But the major matter of emphasis was on the fact that our irregular expenditure had increased to 3.2 billion. And it had increased to 3.2 billion, Chair, because in the previous year, in the 2019-2020 year, the AG had raised an issue as part of the qualification to say they don't have an assurance or they don't have a they are not able to assess what work we have done on the infrastructure side to verify the authenticity of the regular expenditure that we had reported. That was in 2019-2020. So what we then did in 2020-2021, which is the previous financial year, was that we went all out to all implementing agents and checked all the irregular expenditure starting way back to when RCD started, I think 2011 or so. And that's why we came out with this big figure of 3.29 billion. That 3.209 billion only a small fraction related to the year under review. So that about 2.7 billion was going way back. So the point we are making, Chair, is that there's no way that there can be a repetition of the 3.2 billion irregular expenditure, because that 3.2 billion has been covered going years back. We are nevertheless repeating the same exercise that we did last year of going to implementing agents to make sure that the irregular expenditure that the report is correct. But as I say, we won't reach even a fraction of the figures that we reached last year, because last year it was because there was a backlog of about 10 years. So that's the major issue, Chair, that was a matter of emphasis, not a qualification matter. The other matter was the restatement of financial statements, and this is related, Chair, to the same RCD issue, where we would get information from implementing agents to record in our financials. But by the time the AG goes through to audit that information at implementing agents, the AG would find that that information would have changed between the time that was reported to us and the time it was audited. And that's why we would find that the finding then says your financial statements are not what obtains on the ground, and that's why there was a restatement. What we are doing this year, Chair, is that from the infrastructure and IA side, we by the end of this month, we are going to get financials for the 11 months up to February, so that whilst we're still waiting for the closure of the last month of the financial year, because we close March in at the end of April. While we're waiting for the closure of March, at least we are able to work on the 11-month financial statement. So those are the two issues, Chair, that led to matters of emphasis in the last audit outcome. Let me just check. Yeah, no, I think there's been an improvement. Chair, you also asked about the delays in IA submitting invoices for work done. There's been an improvement, because what we have done this year, this relates, Chair, to, and it goes hand in hand with the other question that you asked, Chair, of under spending on capital assets. What happens is that most of our implementing agents are paid tranches. I think there's only one which is not paid a tranche. So what then happens is that we pay them tranches, and then only after they've spent the money would they give us invoices. And as long as we have not gotten the invoices, we would record the tranche payment in our books as a prepayment or as a debt, as money that we've advanced, as an advance, let me put it that way. So it's only when we get invoices that we then move the money from an advance to an expense. What happened previously, Chair, was that we encountered a lot of delays from implementing agents which are getting advances we encountered a lot of delays for them to submit invoices. And as a result, we find that the spending doesn't move up, even if on the side of the implementing agent there has been spending. What we have done is we've tightened up our processes of giving additional tranches. For example, you know, before you get the next tranche, we make sure that you've given us, or an implementing agent has given us, at least the 90% of the invoices relating to the previous tranche, so that we don't sit with money that's in the implementing agents on the implementing agent side. Whilst on our side, it's not expenditure yet. So that those are the measures that we've put in place, Chair. And then we're seeing improvements because, as we've said, last year we actually, when the year ended, we had a lot of money that was sitting at implementing agents, which on our side created cash flow problems. But this year we've been more tighter. And that's why in my presentation, I've mentioned that the spending this year would be very close to 100%, Chair. Thank you. Over to you, DG. Chair, I'm not sure whether the DG can still hear us. There was a point which DG made to say maybe Mr. Van der Staden may want to come in on one or two other matters. I'm not sure whether there is really issues that are still not dealt with. Mr. Van der Staden, is there anything that you want to add from the infrastructure side?
Good morning to all the honorable members. Good morning, DG and colleagues from the department. I think the two issues that has to some extent been addressed is the Eastern Cape under expenditure and the questions regarding the EIG. I've requested Mr. Mafoko, who is the grant manager, to just give the honourable members a feedback on what is the real situation there and where we are at the moment. And he can maybe also just refer to the transport issue, the link between rationalisation and transfer. Mr. Mafoko, if you can just give us some feedback, please.
Thank you, and good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. The DG has already touched on part of the question on the 205 million that was transferred from the Eastern Cape to KZN. But just to indicate to Honourable Members that no money was returned to National Treasury. The money was in the sector. And in order not to lose that because of the challenges in the Eastern Cape, that money was transferred directly from Eastern Cape to KZN. So no money was returned to National Treasury. But with regards to the reasons behind the challenges in the Eastern Cape, we identified that challenge right from the beginning of the financial year in the first quarter. And one of the major reasons was as a result of the majority of contractors having suspended activities in the previous financial year as a result of delayed and non-payment caused by COVID-19 related budget cuts. And some of the contractors refused to go back on site, and that created some challenges. What we did as the DBE, we met with the team, and thinking it was in the second quarter, and we started to develop a recovery plan for the province. And that recovery plan included accelerating the process of awarding replacement contractors where contractors had terminated their contract, bringing forward projects that were due to start later in the financial year, taking to procurement projects where design had already been completed, and also reallocating some of the portfolios from other implementing agents that were not performing to other implementing agents. So in the third quarter, then we also met with individual implementing agents over 2 days just to follow up on the on the implementation of that recovery plan. And subsequent to that, we also met with the team together with their technical support unit to follow up on that. DG has already mentioned that there were some serious delays with regards to approvals from the provincial treasury, which warranted DG's intervention, which he did. And unfortunately, it was already late for some of those projects to start spending. Those projects that wanted to be approved by the provincial treasury, most of them approvals came in January, early in January, late in January. And as we are aware, in terms of infrastructure, a project at the beginning does not really spend that much. So that is the reason that caused the huge under expenditure in the province. What have we done in preparation for the next financial year is that we have already met with the province and the technical team and the implementing agent. We held a planning workshop in preparation for the next financial year. And we will be meeting with the provincial team again next week. And we meet with the team through a DG's meeting every Friday to get reports on their readiness for the next financial year. But as a unit, we meet with the team. As I indicated, we've already had a workshop, a planning workshop with the entire technical team of the Eastern Cape to prepare for the next financial year so that we do not have this kind of a situation coming into the next financial year. Thank you, Chair.
This is out again in the meeting. I will continue with chairing up until she manages to log in again. I see two hands. There's a hand of Mr. Bekim Panza. Honor, will not that. Is that an old hand or there are new questions?
No, it's just one thing.
Okay, no, let's give to Mr. Bekim Panza and then you'll come in.
Sure.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Now, I just wanted to add on the response what DG provided regarding the squadron transport and the closure of or major of non of small and non-viable schools. Just to indicate that we developed guidelines whereby the aim of the guidelines was to assist provinces in terms of how to go about when they are emerging small and non-viable schools. Those guidelines are called rationalization of small and non-viable schools. So we felt that also in 2019 and 2018 and 19, I led the process where we workshopped all provinces in terms of what are the processes that they need to follow before they close the school or merge non-viable school. So one of the conditions or prerequisites is that if there is no budget for scholar transport, then the school cannot be closed or merged, because it's one of the requirements that the scholar transport must be provided. If the school is closed or merged. Maybe, honorable member, what you need to do is to revise that workshop again, because you may find that there are new officials that were not there when we ran those workshops in 2018 and 2019. But we do have guidelines that really stipulate that the school cannot be closed if there's no scholar transport. For instance, even provinces like KZN, they have a list of schools that where they've conducted consultation with all stakeholders, but now they cannot proceed with the closure of those schools because of the budget constraint regarding scholar transport. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mpanza. Honorable Nutada.
Thanks. Just sorry, man, I forgot one thing as I was going through my notes. It's the issue of the monitoring of schools regarding school nutrition, right? I just wanted to check because I think it's the only one that was partially achieved. I might have missed it in the presentation as to the reasons why it was only partially achieved. And I asked this in the backdrop, Chair, of the recent reports around, you know, 7,500 children suffering from or dying from malnutrition under the ages of five, which is not necessarily applicable to the starting age in basic education. But considering that we're going to have the ECD migration taking place as of this week, I wanted to check what the reason was in terms of not being able to meet that particular target of monitoring nutritious meals. And linked to that question, there was a discussion around providing two nutritious meals for certain quintile schools and whether that's still in the pipeline or happening in certain areas or whether that discussion is still taking place. Just that, Chair, that I completely forgot. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Dada. Can you then put your hands down so that we are not confused again? But can I give it over to you, Mr. Kuno, if the DG is not in the meeting? You can delegate whoever responsible to respond to that one.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure. I think it should be Dr. Whittle. I'm not sure if he's in the meeting.
Thanks. So the issue of the partially achieved targets, Honorable Nodada, just has to do with the logistics of the exams during the final quarter and also related to issues of the pandemic. So it's a logistical matter, and we have put systems in place to then pick up the slack in the fourth quarter. On the second meal that the Honourable Member is referring to, so two provinces at the moment are already serving breakfast. Those provinces are the Western Cape and Gauteng. They serve two meals from the current allocation that we provide. We have started a process during the last financial year of piloting breakfast. We're working with a range of partners there, private sector partners, Tiger Brands, PepsiCo, Nestle, and others. But through our own processes, we have started piloting in some of the districts. So we've got some reports available from that particular pilot, and we could certainly make those reports available. The intention is to phase in breakfast over the next couple of years, mostly due to the limited budget and the high food inflation that we have in the country at the moment. But the intention certainly is over the next couple of years to phase in breakfast, particularly in quintile 1 to 3 schools. Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, CFO.
Thanks, Dr. Whittle. Chairperson, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Whittle, and to you, Mr. Kuno. I'm sure we have covered all the questions and exhausted, all the discussions in the presentation. I would then allow the officials of the department to leave us so that we deal with another item in the agenda. But let me thank you very much for attending this setting, and appreciate all the explanation and the work that you have given to us of your performance of the third quarter. Let me allow you then to leave Mr. Kuno and the entire delegation, and thank the DG and the minister in absentia for always attending to our meetings and always providing whatever query or a question that might arise in our meetings. Can you then leave us then up until we meet again? This is our last meeting of the first quarter, up until we meet again after recess. Thank you very much.
Long live the chair and honorable member. Thank you.
Oh, you're back. Thank you, DG. Drive safe.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Keep well.
Nice meeting you, DG. You must have tea, man.
Yeah,
tea and not only tea and some cookies. Yes, honorable, don't know that.
The two of you will never meet. Somebody's going to die. Not that the SDG. I bet.
We must include your principal to mediate.
No, unless you invite me for mediation. You see, you are like Ukraine. Russia.
Mr. Brown, those are the minutes.
Yes, Chairperson, that's the minutes of the last meeting.
Okay. Can we then go through the minutes and then we adopt them? That it will be our last item, ne?
That's the last item. Thank you, Chair.
We have to present the framework for the second quarter. You're back. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Okay. All right. No, you must proceed. My network is really giving me problems. Just proceed. I'm using a phone now. Okay. No, I'm using my phone because other gadgets I'm struggling. So the phone is the one that is very, very stable. And I found a spot where I don't move. When I move, you know, I lose it again. Let's move then. First was the agenda where we dealt with the budget review 2022-2023 of two entities of the department, which is Umalusi and SAIS. The attendance is there. Of the department and also the members that attended, the members delegation from SAIS and also from Umalusi. The chairperson opened the meeting, made remarks in welcoming us, and then the agenda was adopted by Honorable Ngobo and seconded by Honorable Mwasetla, or by Honorable Lisiye, sorry. Can you move? We received the two presentation, one from Umalusi and the other one from SAIS. And then members engaged in the two presentation in form of a questions and clarity seeking questions, and they were responded to. And then there was a minutes of the previous meeting of the 15th of March, matters arising, and the meeting adjourned at 12:09. No, not 9 minutes, but 1 minute to one. Sorry, I thought that was a zero. I need glasses for that. I thought it was 12:09, that is 12:59. No, I need glasses now. It is catching up with me. Those were the minutes, Henry. Can we then move to make corrections before we adopt our minutes? If there are no corrections, can we then move to adopt the minutes?
Rulers to know. Levitonaka Kironi Lava Papa Kimuratseta, I rise to move that these minutes be adopted as a true record of what transpired on that day in question.
Thank you, Principal. Any seconder?
No, Dad, I'm a second.
Ah, this one will never. Up until it reads the key with the DG, it will never second. Can I second, Chairperson? I second, again.
Hey, this chair is carrying and seconding. Hey, this Chairperson.
Yeah, because you are silent like the grave.
I requested the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, if I may, second.
Yeah, there is a chair. There is a resident chair. You have got the power to second.
All right. No, thank you very much. Can we then give it back to you, Mr. Brown, for the draft or framework for the second quarter, second term? Program. Can you deal with the second second term program?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm not sure if members can see the program. If you are able to.
Yeah, I see. Where it's highlighted in green and blue.
Yeah, Chair. Just to indicate, it is a draft, tentative draft, which we've been working on, Chairperson. That there's 1 week when we return in April. It's a committee week, and the idea was to look at doing the portfolio committee strategic plan committee annual performance plan in that week, Chairperson, and maybe also look at the processing and how we unpack the bellable and once we've done the advertisements for that. That'll be the first week, Chairperson. Then there's a leave period for the NA from the week of the 25th to the 29th of April. leave period for NA. This is followed by, then we are back to committees and plenaries, starting the week of the 2nd of May, where we would look to bring the department to just give us an update and a brief on the issues of school infrastructure, ICT safe programs. It's an item that has been coming up quite a lot in the meetings of late. Chairperson, after that, following Tuesday, we have indeed identified a briefing with the Kagiso Trust, their roles, functions, and responsibilities. It's something that we have been looking to do for some time. We are then followed by another item, Chairperson, for the following week is the issues of math, science, technology, and how teacher training development, and get the briefing from the department on that. The bellable written and oral submissions will always remain an item on the agenda, Chairperson, but it's just that we are then also allowed to look at other items that we would like to include. That brings us to the week of the 24th of May, Chairperson. Items on the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill and the submissions will always remain an item on the agenda, but we will look to continue with our engagement with the Northwestern Free State. Remember, we had an oversight visit to those two provinces for them to just come and give us an update on the implementation of the recommendations of our report. you will note, Chair, that this meeting will be subject to approval of the House Chair. It was on that morning, and that is as per the latest program. There is the mini plenaries in the morning. I think those are budget votes. Chair, the following week, once again, we would like to then continue with our engagement with the provinces that we visited on oversight. That would be Western Cape and the Northern Cape. Chair, added to this, seeing that we are bringing the Western Cape, We have also included, and I have forwarded to members, we've received a petition this week or last week. We received a petition from Honorable Sukers in respect of the closure of the Sikwikat Primary School. The petition has been via the office of the speaker, and the petition has been referred to the committee. So we would like to deal with that petition maybe on that same morning, because we would have had the Western Cape in that meeting. then goes to the week of the 6th to the 10th of June. Chairperson, we will continue with an updated status report on the ECD. Remember, by that time, the function shift would have been finalized. It would be with DBE, just to get an updated status report on the challenge and the mitigation. The last Tuesday, Chair, we will have a briefing by the department on the fourth quarterly report. That would be ready from the department side. So we'll take that fourth quarterly report at our last meeting. Once again, we will continue with the submissions on the bill will always remain an item on the agenda as we move along. There's a constituency period. It's quite a lengthy constituency period, Chair, and the idea was, and this is to be confirmed, that we could look at least possible oversight. We are still owing one province, Chair, in respect of the provinces that we have been visited. It was only in Mpumalanga that was outstanding. To try and do that maybe for in 1 week during that constituency period, but then to look at whether we can start, you know, the public participation hearings on the Belabo. This is something that the committee will have to decide on whether we are ready to go on this, to start this process. I indicate again, it is members have indicated that they would prefer to do it during the constituency periods, because that would free them up, and that this would be quite a lengthy constituency period for us to then maybe look at doing one or two provinces in respect of the Belabo provincial hearings. Chair, that is more or less the program. It is tentative and draft, and we do submit the program to the committee. Just one item that I'm just missing, but I'll add it in. It's just, we have to probably adopt our budget vote report in that first week when we are back. We will just find space to do that, as well as this report on the third quarterly report. Those are the two. That would be the two outstanding reports that we will adopt as soon as we are back for the second term. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson and members. Not sure if there's anything from Portia's side that you may want to add.
Chief Koshia, do you want to ask something? Chief Koshia is very quiet.
Oh, I did indicate I'm okay with the framework. There's nothing to add from my side.
Oh.
Yes.
Where did you indicate this post? We're waiting for you to indicate.
I did just now.
Maybe you're muted. No, it's fine. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Members, there is the framework. Any input? Any questions? Members? No data?
Can we just get this draft once the committee is going to adopt it as it is, just to align with our own program so that we don't have things that are clashing?
It's still a draft, it will be, I think it will be a working document when it is adopted or approved actually by the House Chair, but I think it's not a transmesh. You can dissent the draft. But for me, Mr. Brown, I wanted to check in our chairperson if we can't have that oversight from Mpumalanga and be, you know, done with the sitting provinces. as early as when we come back from the oversight, I mean from recess. Maybe if you can check that one so that we don't need to have it hanging whilst we still have to deal with the public hearings. If we can check that one can be possible. But for me, I think that the draft is noted. I don't see any hint, but I think
no, I don't know. Where is Sukers not in the meeting?
The chair, no, Honorable Sukers did put in an apology.
She's trying to call me.
Because she sent me. Sorry, man. You know, using the phone also is a bit. She is requesting that we put this petition of hers a bit earlier. Can you just move the? Can you move this? Just go up. Just go up. Don't go too down. I'm not sure how other members are feeling, but she's requesting that we put this petition of hers a bit earlier. So I'm not sure if members are comfortable that we do it on that week of the. Just after the leave, 2 to 5 May, we swap that meeting with the meeting we were supposed to be doing her petition with the Western Cape. That if it's doable.
Can I just ask, Chair? Is that time period not when we are supposed to be dealing with the budget vote?
When are we starting with the budget vote, and Llewellyn, the debate?
Yeah, the budget votes are scheduled, I think, for the third week in May. I will just double check exactly what date our vote is. I think it's the 18th, if I'm not mistaken, but I will just double check with Mr. Mahada. But we would have adopted our budget vote report on that 3rd of May. That shouldn't take too long, and then we are able to then shift. We can do that swap for the petition on that day, on the 3rd of May. I'll just double check with Mr. Mahada when our vote is.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So are you comfortable? Not that.
Perfect, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think then we agree for that week that we just do the necessary changes, Llewellyn, and put the Western Cape, that meeting of with the Western Cape on that week. With regards to what the WIP is raising of the Mpumalanga, I think let's allow you to work on it yourself and support. As we are on the oversight, we would be able to interact and bring it back to the committee if that is fine with you, WIP. But I agree with you that we need to go to Mpumalanga.
No, it's fine. It's fine. If we can get something, whether before, during recess or when we come back, it's still fine. But I was saying, let us also prioritize it and, you know, be done with, so that we don't have it hanging to say we have never visited schools in Mpumalanga.
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
That's fine. So please just effect those changes and then let me see them, Llewellyn, and then after that we can be able to email them before the end of the week to all the members so that they can plan their programs for the second quarter.
Thank you, Chair. We effect the changes. Just to indicate, I've just spoken to Mr. Mahada. The budget vote for basic education is on Thursday, the 19th of May at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we would have, we've still got enough time for that, we would have adopted our report at the first meeting.
Okay. All right. That's the date, not the other date, the 19th of May. So it's fine. Okay. Okay. So which means then we are okay with this framework. Yeah, so Whip, you can somewhat close then the meeting. Thank you.
Ah, Chair, close the meeting, man. We can hear you clearly. Close it.
No, it's fine. Then members, let's then adjourn the meeting. Let me not even take longer now. Kimberly is showing me flames today.
Yeah, but you have resurrected from the dead. I'm telling you, you sound very powerful now.
Oh, which means I'm accused of the phone when I'm at home.
As if you can start the meeting afresh now.
Yeah, it's not a very afresh. You can start a new meeting. Our phones are more powerful than these two gadgets when it comes to network.
Tomorrow with this motion of no data. This motion of no data. Pella, we are at home with our
keeping us busy for nothing.
No data. What actually do you want to wear? No data.
Nothing. No data wants us to meet. He says he's not been meeting for a long time.
No, but I mean, really, man, some of us, we've got children. Our children are on holidays. We want to be with our kids.
Then it's fine. Just make sure your network is connecting tomorrow to vote. If not, then it's over.
No, it's fine. Thanks a lot, members.
Okay. No, thank you very much.
Bye, Chef.
See you tomorrow. Physically so.
Yes.